Worship and honor you, El Shaddai, Adonai, Jehovah Makadesh, the true God. You said in your word, this is the true God and eternal life. There is none like you. We know who you are. We worship. We enter your word with reverence. We stand in awe of you because we know who you are. As we enter the word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We beseech you, let it please you in your mercy and kindness to give us fresh unction and anointing so that I will speak not from myself but as an oracle of God. We also ask the same unction to put upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who will hear physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So that this word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble. Minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge. Emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further ask that as the word goes forth, you will back it by the power of your Spirit in sufficient measure to heal, to deliver, to break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the tongue, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, I have a very important message I want to share with us this afternoon, and I've entitled it More Than Conquerors. The Lord brought this truth to my heart as a spin-off of a message I preached a few weeks ago, which I called The Purpose of Groaning. Groaning is a very high, powerful type of prayer in the spirit. It's a little bit higher than tongues. Tongues is very important. But groaning, the Bible says, in words, groans that words cannot express. Can you please put up Romans 8:26, the New International Version, in this regard. I find the New International Version the best rendering of these portion of verses, in this particular context. Derek Prince, I didn't mention Derek Prince earlier on, there was an omission. He's one of the spiritual fathers, I never met him, but, some of the things God spoke through him are inside my spiritual genes and DNA. And I always remember him when I preach, when I teach, when I read the Bible. His voice will just come to me when I'm reading something, because I remember that's what Derek Prince said, and it built me up. And he said this. He was a great scholar, Derek Prince. Before he got born again, he went to King's College in Cambridge, and if I remember rightly, he's an expert in about 18 languages, including Greek and Hebrew. He spoke Italian, he spoke German, he was an Englishman, he spoke a whole range of languages. And I heard Derek Prince say this, and I've never forgotten it. He said the translation that is closest to the original Greek, the modern translations, is the New International Version. That's one of the reasons why I use it. Now, of course, some of the latest renderings of the old New International Version have been mutilated. Things have been taken out. But if you get the original New International Version, it's very, very good in some of these areas. So it's in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with what? Groans that words cannot express. So it's not tongues are words. Let's begin to talk. You're speaking a language. It's an unknown language. It's a heavenly language. Many times a heavenly language. Or it's an earthly language that you don't know. It can either be a heavenly language or an earthly language or an angelic language. You know, some time ago I was preaching and teaching on this, and I said, what language did God and Adam speak? You know, when Adam was created, God was speaking to him. What language was he speaking? It wasn't Hebrew. Hebrew had not even been invented. There was nothing called Hebrew. So God has a language. It's your, what, you know, my wife did interference. Your L1, praise the Lord. That's your original language. Tongues is the original language. You're speaking to God in the same language that God and Adam used to speak in. Now, because it's a heavenly language. Okay, so it's a language, it has words. But groaning is not words, it's a groan. The best way to describe it is what happens when a woman is having a baby. When a woman is having a baby, there is a contraction or a stiffening of the stomach muscles and then a groan. What's happening is that the contraction of the stomach muscles pushes down the baby. And, you know, with each contraction, the baby goes down and begins to come out of the birth canal. In exactly the same way, spiritually, when you go, you stiffen your stomach muscles, you tighten. That's why if you're doing it properly, groaning is a great exercise. It's an exertion because there is, you know, it's from here. There should be a contraction, a stiffening of the stomach muscles, and then you're pushing out. But in our case, we're not pushing out a baby, we're pushing out power. If that power, as it comes out of our mouths, it goes into the air, and the Holy Spirit will use it to create and bring into physical manifestation whatever it is that He wants to do or that we're praying about. And so, groanings are very, very important. Now, in the context of these groanings and prayer, Paul goes to this thought about becoming more than conquerors. And by the help of the Holy Spirit this afternoon, I want to tie it all together. Because, you see, many times we read the Bible in a disjointed fashion. We read something, and then we forget about it, and then we read something else. And then you find Christians quoting things, you know, oh, we're more than conquerors. But what makes you more than a conqueror? What makes you more than a conqueror? Another one that we quote often is, all things work together for good. But how do all things work together for good? You can't just take those statements in isolation out of their spiritual contexts, scriptural context, excuse me, and then just try and make them say something that God is saying that, but there's conditionalities and there are all kinds of things attached to it. And I want to just share a few things. And I have a very urgent thing in my spirit, in my heart that God's given to me. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are more than a conqueror. And this afternoon you will know. And you know what? Whatever you face from today onwards, you are going to overcome it. When you have this understanding, mentality is everything. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I am always reminded of these two great men of God, Joshua and Caleb. They saw the same giants. They saw the same cities. They saw the same high walls. Why did the giants, the cities, and the high walls, watch this, not intimidate Joshua and Caleb? Because of what they had inside. Somebody gave this illustration recently, you know, And, you know, I thought it was good. It's just come to me now by the Spirit as I'm ministering, you know. Imagine you've had great financial difficulty, you know, over many months and weeks and, you know, all kinds of threats. They want to sell this and sell that. Then somebody comes to you, you know, and says, don't worry. We just discovered, Prof, you like these prophetic words. Prof is looking at me in great expectation. But Pastor is sorosaying me. You know, and they come to you and say, they just discovered that you have inherited and you are entitled to 100 million naira. And they have been looking for you. And somebody now give them this address and they're able to trace you. And then they show you all the papers and it's real, it's genuine. But they tell you that, well, you know, the money is in so-and-so XYZ bank, you know, but you have to come there tomorrow or maybe it's a weekend. You have to come in 2 or 3 days' time and just sign the necessary papers and you'll get the credit. Now, watch this. Over that, maybe they came and tell you on a Friday evening or Saturday morning, you know, the minute you get that information, your whole perspective, even the way you walk, will change. You haven't seen the money, oh? You can't wait for Monday to come. When you get to the court, your whole, you know, when you see people, the way they saw you on Thursday, when all the debt and all the something, you know, you're feeling low and all. But with this new information, you now begin to say, everything is fine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everything is fine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because you have inside information that you did not have 24 hours earlier. That's what revelation does. When you begin to know, this is what I have. Then when you think about the debts and all the problems, what's all of that compared to the 100 million you are going to get on Monday? So you begin to tell yourself, when they phone you and they say, relax, that will be taken care of. I'll see you on Monday. How many people understand what I'm talking about? That's what the revelation of the Word of God should do to you. If you really believe, and you know inside this word God has given, then you know that all these, you will be like Joshua and Caleb. They are bread for us. You will see the same cities, the same high walls, the same children of Anak, but you say, let us go up at once, for they are what? Bread for us. Because they had a inside knowledge. The other Israelites didn't have that knowledge. So they saw the giants as being far stronger than them, which they were in the physical. But what Joshua and Caleb had by revelation on the inside was much greater than what they could see. For greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. That's why you're more than a conqueror. But the problem is, do you know it? Or let's say it this way, to what degree do you know it? Let's say it this way, to what degree is it real to you on the inside? That's the purpose of this exercise, of this time of sharing. God said, yeah, and you have to link it. See, well, after he talked about, Paul has been talking from manifestation of sons of God, I'm not going to go through all of that. Then he comes to this place and talks about, he says, likewise, you know, the creation is groaning. You know, the earth is groaning. You know, we are groaning inside this physical body because of the weaknesses and the sin nature inside the body. And then the Holy Spirit too is groaning. So the Holy Spirit is now taking hold together with us against this opposition, this distortion, this problem, this sin nature that is inside your flesh. That's the purpose of groaning. He takes hold together. The actual Greek word helpeth is a compound word. It means take hold together with, against. You know who taught me that? Kenneth Hagin. I read it 40 years ago. I've never forgotten it. That's what I mean. When a father tells you something, he comes in here and it's been there for 40 years. And it's not going to, it will stay there throughout eternity. It's part of my spiritual genes, my spiritual DNA. Once I see that scripture, I know what it says. Say, help it. Takes hold together with against. It stayed with me all the years. That's how revelation knowledge should be. It should be inside you. And so, the Holy Spirit takes hold together with against the enemy. Against what? This sin nature. So the purpose of groanings is to pump, groan, travail, release power from the spirit into the physical body to drive out the sin nature, cause the life of God to be manifest in the mortal flesh, and for you to be conformed to the image of Jesus and manifest the glory of God. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. That's why. Now, let's go back to the King James just for a minute. Oh, no. Stay in the New International. Stay in the New International. You know, and then I'll go back to the King James when I'm ready. And go to the next verse, which is verse 27. And he who searches our hearts, I didn't hear you folks, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for who? The saints. This is not for sinners. We intercede for sinners too to get born again. This is for saints. This is for people who are already born again. For the saints, in accordance with what? Next verse. This is the verse we all love and misquote. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love him, who have been what? Called according to his purpose. In other words, this groaning, this intercession, God uses as an avenue, he uses as a channel, through which he will now begin to cause everything to work together for your good. It doesn't matter how big the cities are. It does not matter how big the giants are. It doesn't matter how difficult the situation is, it will work for your good. Good things will work for your good. Bad things will work for your good. Thank you. It's a win-win situation. But look at the link. It's linked to prayer. It's linked to intercession. Are you seeing it? There was a thought that just popped into my mind. You know, no matter how difficult a situation is, it cannot be too difficult for God. I don't know if you've read this scripture. It's in the Bible. He said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? But you know the problem? You need to let God loose. Many of us, God is locked up inside. So he can't come out to do what he wants to do. There's a beautiful one of the scriptures in Proverbs. Sorry, it's in Psalms. It's come to me by the Spirit. I haven't read it in a long time, but it's come to me. He said, oh, that my people, you know, would have allowed me to work. He said, then I would have finished their enemies. God was lamenting. It's in the book of Proverbs somewhere. I don't remember. Bible scholars look for it. He says, if only they had just allowed me. Groaning is how you release God. You release God into the situation. He will turn around for your good. Good things will work together for your good. The bad things the devil is trying to do will work together for your good. Another beautiful scripture. No weapon that is formed against thee will prosper. But don't quote it in isolation. You know what it says? He said, I have created. Glory to God. I have created the waster to destroy. In other words, where is the weapon from? Well, say we are more than a conqueror. Where is the weapon from? Somebody made the weapon. The weapon that is coming against you, somebody made it. But there is another person who made the somebody that made the weapon. Are you following me? That's why he said, I have created the waster to destroy. He does this, he does that. He said, but I am telling you,
that no weapon that is fashioned, it cannot prosper if you release me into it. I made the person who made the weapon. Watch this. I made the person who made the weapon, and I made the weapon. So how can it prosper against you? Ha 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 ha. We're dealing with a God who knows what he's doing. That's why he put all those things inside the Bible, so he can follow his thought pattern. He says, I have created the weapon to destroy, the waster to destroy. I made the one. I am the one who made him. He said, and every day is another scripture. It's somewhere in Isaiah, you know, one of those, I can't remember exactly where. He says, and every day you are afraid. You are afraid. He said, where is the fury of the oppressor? You're always afraid. What's he going to do to me? He said, where is the fury of the oppressor? Do you know who I am? I made the waster to destroy, and I will destroy the destroyer and his weapon. Glory be to God. Pastor Wega was telling me that they did an archaeological excavation of the Red Sea. They found the chariots and the wheels and something of the Pharaoh's armies there. Give the Lord a clap offering. They did an archaeology. They excavated. They found the chariots, all the things of an army. It's not a fable. It's real. The horse and the rider hath he cast into the sea. He did it. Where is the weapon? May God help us know who we are. Release God. Stop locking him up. And you want to be more than a conqueror? Are you fooling? The man said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Aha, now we're talking. What can come against you? That's the reason for groaning. Go back to Romans. The purpose of groanings is to release the power of God into two places. Firstly, your physical body, to overcome and get rid of the sin nature so that you can manifest the glory of God and become conformed to the image of Jesus. Then secondly, into the air. So that no matter what it is that is going on, it will work for your good. Verse 27. We're going to get to more than the conquerors in a minute. But you see, this is the foundation. You see, people jump to more than the conqueror and they don't lay this foundation. And we know. I say, we don't think so. We don't even have to believe. We know. And we know that in a few things, in some things, in only the very, very difficult things, in all things, everybody scream it. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. If you pray with groanings daily, properly, every day you are releasing power into your body, you're listening to the air, what is going to happen is that all things will work together for your good. You will find that in all things, God is working for the good of those that love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Good things will work for you. The bad things the devil is trying to do will work for you. Remember, he is no match for God. Don't with God. He is not.
You know, the person who believes this more than any other person is the devil himself. The devil has more faith in God than Christians. That's why they say the devils also believe and tremble.
You know, Christians don't believe God as much as the devil.
You know why? Satan has been with him for thousands of millions of years. He knows God. He knows certain things about God. One, he watches over his word to perform it.
He said if he has said it's going to happen. He has seen that by his own personal experience over millions of years. He doesn't play with God. He can mess around with Christians, but not God.
But when a Christian starts releasing God, the thing that Satan fears most is a Christian on his knees who knows how to pray.
How many people have heard of John Knox?
He said, "Give me Scotland or I die." This was a great saint and a prayer. You know, there was a terrible queen in Scotland. She was called Mary, Queen of the Scots. She used to kill all the people. She said, "The thing I fear more than any other thing is the prayer of the queen."
This was when there was no civil rights. There was no, you know, human rights or anything. The queen would just call them, they cut your head off.
She said there is nothing she feared more than the prayer of that man.
They should fear us. Say, if those people pray, we're in trouble.
Not all this one where we pray and don't let me go there. I have a serious message in front of me. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? Next verse. Am I talking to anybody here? Am I helping anybody here? Am I encouraging anybody here?
For those God foreknew, open your mouth, if you are one of them. He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Give the Lord a clap offering.
I got news for you. That's your purpose. Who are the called according to his... This is time to go back to King James. Go back to King James now. The purpose for which we were called was to be conformed. That's the reason for the groaning. The groaning removes the sin nature from the physical body and puts the life of God inside. So that the life of God is manifest in the mortal flesh, making you conformed to the image of Jesus. So you now carry and demonstrate the same glory that was in Jesus Christ when he was here.
Nothing less.
I didn't hear you.
I said nothing less. That's the purpose. So that the life of God will be made. That's what Paul saw. That the life of God will be made manifest in our mortal flesh. In one place, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he has shined where? In our heart. For a purpose. To give us the knowledge of the glory that is in the face of Jesus Christ. They said we beheld his glory as the glory of the only at that time, the begotten of the Father. But he is now firstborn among many brethren. In other words, the glory that is in his face is in your own face. So what they are going to say about you is that, and we beheld his glory as the glory of one of the brethren of the sons of God. The same glory. Not one iota difference in quality. That's what the man said. The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works. This is the purpose. This is the reason for the groaning. So we are groaning to put the life of God. Come against this sin nature.
It says, we who are in this flesh do groan, being burdened because of all the wahala of this flesh. But why? That mortality might be swallowed up of life.
Hallelujah. We who are in this body, he said, we are groaning. We are groaning, waiting for the adoption to know or to experience the redemption of our body.
Shorting Yewa. You've got to read. It's Romans 8 is one of the most important chapters in the whole Bible. If you remove Romans 8, we lose our destiny. We lose the how. The problem is highlighted in Romans 5, Romans 6, and Romans 7. But the solution is in Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I know how I feel now. I feel like Jesus' eyes are like a flame of fire. I'm tired of this nonsense. I'm tired of the church just going around in circles like Israel. Turn ye northward. Turn ye northward. For you have gone around this mountain for too long. Don't live and die in the wilderness. Move out. Turn you northward. And where is the north? Where that's where the king sits. It says Mount Zion on the side of the north. The city of the great king. Nekaramasafra. That's how you know the Bible was written by God. Look at how all those scriptures dovetail. See the correlation. That's the English student speaking. The English PhD. On the correlation. In Yoruba it means Owole Papo. But the Oibo is O correlate. Oh, glory to God. Sit down if you can. So, the purpose of the groaning is to give birth, not physical birth, spiritual birth to the sons of God. I know you've been giving birth to when you got born again. We're talking now about being born from the dead, like Jesus. I'll give you another revelation that most Christians don't know. Do you know Jesus was born again on Easter Sunday? May God have mercy on us. You see, when he was born of Mary, he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. Are you following? So he was the only begotten Son of God. Why is he the only begotten? He's the only person that was born with natural birth without the sin nature. Because his mother was a virgin. That privilege is only for Jesus Christ, no other person. But he is the firstborn from the dead. So what happened on resurrection day? Let's start from Good Friday, which is this Friday. Incidentally, you can eat meat, it's okay. I don't know how, I just have to go there. Praise the Lord. But if you want to eat fish, it's okay. And if you are free, John, send it to my house. I will eat it. There's no problem with all of those things. But you see, Friday, when he was crucified, he not only died physically, he died spiritually. If he did not die spiritually, he would not shout, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God forsake him? Because he became sin. He did not sin, he became sin. Sin is not just something that you do, it's also something that you are. Sin is a substance. So the sin nature enveloped him, spirit, soul, and body. That's the only way he could pay the price. And that was why when his spirit left his body, it could not go up, it went down. He became sin. He who knew no sin was made. He didn't commit sin. He was made to be sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. This is the revelation of the gospel. Anybody who doesn't have this revelation is not in that Pauline pedigree. He said, the gospel which I preach, he said, I preached not after man. Neither was I taught it, but it was given to me by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is called the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Jesus himself had revelation. It was God the Father who gave it to him. The Holy Spirit. Then he now said, Paul, come and share. Let me give you the revelation God gave me. Then Paul said, I'm going to share with everybody. So he wrote it down in the Ephesians, and wrote it down in Colossians, and wrote it down in Philippians. So anybody down through the ages can come and pick the same revelation. So on Easter, on Good Friday, Jesus need only die physically. If it was physical death cannot pay the price for your sin. He went to hell. He didn't go to Abraham's bosom. Please, 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 please. He went to Gehenna. When I was a young Christian, and God began to give me, I got all those revelations too, personally. I prayed, you know, obeyed Kenneth Hagin. I prayed Pauline prayers for myself. I started praying in tongues 1 hour every day. After about 6 months, it's like watching a film. The thing just started flowing. It just started, it's like playing back a movie inside my heart. But I wanted to be sure, not just because Kenneth Hagin said it. So I went to check the original Greek. It's Gehenna. That's where the fire is. It's not Abraham's bosom. That's the only reason why you're going to heaven. If Jesus did not go to hell, you cannot go to heaven. Because he paid the price. Now, he did not sin as an act of commission, but he was made sin as a sacrifice, as a propitiation for our sin. And it was on that basis he went to hell and suffered. That's why I suffered for 3 days and three nights to pay the price for anyone who will now believe in him. That is why the only way you can get born again is by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins. And you believe that he was raised again from the dead on the third day. And then and only then shalt thou be saved. Many Christians don't understand it. So, around 3 a.m., fourth watch, on what we call Easter Sunday, Jesus had been in hell on Friday afternoon. He died around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He'd been here 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4, 5, 6, 7, the whole of Friday night, the whole of Saturday. I don't know, what do we call it? One is Good Friday, what do we call it? Is it Bad Saturday? You know the religion. You know, the whole of Saturday. The first hours of Sunday morning, 12 midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. on Sunday morning, something happened they have never seen in hell before or after. The Holy Ghost paid a visit to hell. The light. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, there was a great wind, a mighty force. And it says the Spirit of God came like a mighty force and like fire and sat on them. That's what happened in hell. They had never seen anything like it. The Holy Ghost invaded the place. The Lord Jesus Christ, who had been there suffering as a lamb that was slain since Friday evening, on Sunday morning, early in the morning, the fire of the Holy Ghost, the life of God, the light of God, blasted its way into that place and injected the life of God back into his spirit, soul, and body. And he was the first person to go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Consequently, he is called the firstborn from the dead. Give him a clap offering, somebody. Firstborn. 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 That was when he became the firstborn from the dead. He did not become the firstborn from the dead in Bethlehem. He became firstborn from the dead on Easter Sunday. From that point on, from that point in time, any human being who believes in that atoning sacrifice and receives it by faith and confesses it with his mouth, the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is injected into that person's human spirit, and that person gets born again. But that's not the end of the story. After he gets born again, and he now has the life of God in his spirit, and he has the Holy Ghost in his heart, God wants him to go further and now put that same life of God into the physical body so that it becomes manifest in the body. So he now becomes conformed to the image of the firstborn. Glory be to God. So the life of God will now be flowing in your body like it was in Jesus' body those 33 years. See, that's why the woman with the issue of blood could get healed. Watch this. No word of wisdom. No word of knowledge. Watch this. No casting out the devil. You know we love the devil so much. God have mercy on the church. You know, no casting out of the devil. No prayer. No faith. There was faith, but it was on her own. It was her own faith. All that was available was the life of God. It was inside the body. It raw power. It went from the body and seeped inside the clothes. The woman didn't touch his body. She touched the cloth. The scripture is very specific. The hem of his garment. That kind of anointing. That's what we call the spirit without measure. That's what you are supposed to inherit.
Amen.
That is our inheritance. Amen. Honey, that is what we have to get before we die, if we die. That is what the Bible means when it says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him or manifest to him my salvation. Don't let anybody steal your inheritance from you and tell you that your goal as a Christian is just to go to heaven. The thief on the cross, for heaven's sake, went to heaven. We're not talking about going to heaven here. We're talking about having the life of God manifest, and don't be satisfied with anything less. That's your purpose. That's your purpose as a Christian. And if you don't get it, you should not be satisfied. And if you're not satisfied, you should not die. I will say it again. With long life, will I satisfy him and show him or manifest to him my salvation. In other words, if I don't have that manifestation, I will not be satisfied. And if I'm not satisfied, I'm not going to die by the mercy and the grace of God. Christians are dying prematurely because they don't have this purpose in front of them. They have been told that it doesn't matter. You go to heaven. And the devil come and sell you a dummy. Say you can go to heaven. You are going to heaven. It doesn't matter. So go to heaven. Go to heaven. Don't worry. Go, go, go. Not you, brother. Dr. Williams, not you. You're not going anywhere. Yet. You are going to heaven, but not yet. Look at that subtle error. Just change the coordinates. Just shift the coordinates from perfection to heaven, and you cut yourself short. That's why so many Christians are dying prematurely. And they're satisfied. Because they've been told that that's your purpose. So it's all lies. It is a lie of the devil. Don't accept it. The book of Proverbs is clear. There are things you can do to increase your days, and there are things you can do to reduce your days, so your days are not numbered. It's a lie. There is no
no such thing as God has specified a particular day for you to die. Was Hezekiah not told that put your house in order and you shall surely die? Didn't he change it? Change your own. Change it! I'm not dying until I am satisfied. Until I see the glory in this physical body. I will not be satisfied. When you change, you know, once you agree with this in your heart, you understand, God takes a special interest in you. You now become one of his special projects. He said, this one believes. So, nothing, he tells all the angels in heaven, nothing must happen to him because he's not satisfied. Let's get back to Romans chapter 8. But I think you begin to have an idea now of being more than a conqueror. You begin to have an idea now. Romans 8. We've stopped in verse 29. 29 is, the purpose is to be conformed to the image of his son. Go to King James now, King James. I'll come to the International if I want. He says, to be what? Conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. So many of those brethren are going to be exactly like him. That he might bring many sons unto glory. The thing is full of the New Testament. I don't know how we missed it, Kule. The whole New Testament is full of it. Unbelief will blind you. And wrong teaching. And wrong preaching. You've been told so long, it's not possible. So you see some scriptures, glory when we get to heaven. That's not what he's talking about. He said that he might bring many sons to glory. And the scripture I love most about that is those two scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, manifest in the matter. You know, God put it there deliberately. Because they would have just posted everything to heaven. He said, in your mortal flesh. Chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, Baba Paul, this man is a great lawyer. Line upon line, precept upon precept. You can imagine him in a court of law arguing. My learned friend is looking at me. Barrister Oje. He said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he... Look at the stages. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Don't be satisfied with being called. Don't be satisfied with being justified. Get your glorification. The Christian church has stopped at calling and justification. There is another step. There is a glorification. A pre-resurrection glorification. These scriptures are clear. Unless you want to be dishonest. It is in the light of that. We go to the next verse. The verse 31. You see, with all this background, Baba Paul, he now says, what then? What shall just do these things? If it is true that I'm born again, if it's true that I have the life of God in my spirit, if it is true that I have it manifest in my mortal flesh, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Understand it. If God has come inside your spirit, your soul, and your body, and God is on the inside, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, who can be against you? The person is finished. If God be for us,
who can be against us? Then he begins to argue. Baba Paul. You know, he wants you to follow his thought pattern so you can have the same understanding that he has. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how he not with him also free? Everybody screamed freely. Scream it again. Give us some things. And you are worrying about your rent. And you are worrying about what the doctor said in the hospital. Can you see how ridiculous we are? Thank God, God is a God of patience and forbearance. The Yoruba say, "Olorun ku suru." You know, some of the things we say and do, and you come just, Jesus say, "Father, please, just shara fiole, Holy Ghost, please keep working on him." If he didn't spare his own son, and he gave Jesus a whole Jesus, omodindi, a whole child, he gave that one. What won't he give you? What won't he give you? Aronunio. In our language, that means we don't think deeply. And it's the truth. Christian, just read the Bible, just read it on the surface. Read it! Read it with understanding. Read it with meaning. He did not spare his son. He delivered him. How shall he not also? Freely! God is not a prude. God is not a miser. If he gave Jesus, he will give you a billion if that's what you need. No problem for him. He give you a trillion. What's a trillion to God? Nothing. Peanuts. I don't know if you know, if you come up to heaven where we live, I don't know if you are coming, but those of you are coming. All the streets are made of gold. Our houses are first class. You can't compare to this nonsense you have here. Give the Lord a clap offering. You know, when you start thinking like this, you become heavenly minded. Then you are able to put the correct value of the things on the earth. And then you are like Paul said, they are but dung. Now we use them. We're here. We enjoy them. We use them. But I can never be attached to them. Can you compare my house in heaven to this one here? And I will now lose my destiny because of this one here. God forbid. God forbid, baby. I don't join you, Washa. Next verse. Who shall lay? This is a, remember, is a lawyer. He is a lawyer. This is a legal argument. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know what God is doing? He's trying to remove from your mind any guilty complex. Because it doesn't matter the mistakes you may have made. There is no charge that can be laid against you because of the price that Jesus paid. And he explains his argument. Next verse. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Then he says, Yea, rather, that is risen. The man is alive. The man is alive. Hallelujah. The man is alive. It is Christ that died, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What that means is this. It's true you fell. It's true you made a mistake. It's true you sinned. No problem. And the accuser of the brethren comes to the throne and says he did this, Christ said, yes, it's true, but I'm his lawyer. And I paid the price for that mistake. So there's no reason for him to be indicted. There is no basis for any indictment. No charge. There's a charge, but it has been disannulled. My learned friend. Completely disannulled. And the court will say, sustained. But we're not done yet. Next verse. I say you can't sit down again. You're beginning to understand you are more than a conqueror. Watch this. I'm going to get there, but it is a preview. You're not a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Who shall separate us? He now begins a litany. He begins to list everything the devil can do. You see this scripture? You know why it's so much in my spirit? When I just came back from England in 1981, I used to get depressed. I used to feel sorry for myself. What are you doing in Nigeria? All your classmates are in London. What are you doing here? Is your head correct? You say God called you. Look, you are living in Agbo. I'm telling you the truth. Those things will come. They will come. They will come. You know, and the Holy Spirit told me, said, open Romans 8. Then I will start. I don't usually read quietly. I will say it loud. By the time I finish and I start speaking in tongues, all the things will just disappear. That's why this scripture is so real to me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then he starts. Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Watch this. Next verse. Next verse. Nay, everyone say nay. Tell them, everyone say no. I am not sheep for the slaughter. Satan will not kill me. Nay, nay, nay. Don't mind Satan. No. He will come. There's nothing he won't tell you. Shakarani. There's nothing he didn't tell me. You will die here. He said, you're going to die here. Eh? You know, I told you not to come to this Nigeria. He was talking to me. See, you know, I warned you. When you were in there, I said, you shouldn't come. Eh? God called you. God called you. You see now. Eh? You're going to die, yo. I was 21 years old. You're going to die, yo. And those thoughts will be coming. And to complicate the thing, you know, within a few weeks, my car had an accident. I was almost squashed with the car. He said, you see, you know, I told you, all these kind of hanging, they are in America. You are here. The devil, eh? I know him very well. He said, you see, they are in America. You are here. You won't last too. You are a sheep for the slaughter. Then I will bring out the Bible and say, nay! Shout it again, nay! Shout it again, nay! In all these things. Stop. In all what things? In famine? In peril, in nakedness, in sword, on all of them, inside all of them. You are what? More than a conqueror through him that loved you. Give him a super clap. So when you are in Nigeria, you are more than a conqueror. And have I not become more than a conqueror? The word of God is true. Give him a clap offering. 40 years after, I'm still alive. I'm firing on all cylinders. Glory be to God. With a wonderful wife, wonderful children and grandchildren. And the man told me I won't last. That's how I know he's a liar. Touch your neighbor, said the devil is a liar. Don't believe him. Don't believe him. Believe the word of God. That's what I chose to do. I kept saying the word of God out. God said, don't say it in your mind. You say it out. 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 In all these things, in famine, in peril, in sword, in pestilence, in distress, in... So whenever you are in any of those things, say, I am more than a conqueror. Those things will come. Tribulation. God did not insulate us from tribulation. He did not insulate us from famine. He did not insulate us from peril. But he guaranteed that inside the tribulation, you will turn it around through the groaning. Can you get the link now? Through the groaning, inside the tribulation, through the prayer and the groaning, I will enter the tribulation and turn it around for your good. Amen. Did you get it? You've got to link the scripture. You can't read that one in isolation and read this one in isolation. You've got to bring it together. Am I helping anybody here? Next verse. For I am Baba Paul. Baba Paul. Ah, man, I love this guy. I love... Ah, Paul's house is one of those I'll visit when I get to heaven. Immediately I get, I say, I want to see Paul. Ah, we need to sit down and talk. Baba Paul. He said, for I am... Stop. Emarunu. What made him persuaded? The arguments he had made prior. He had thought it through. Remember where he's coming from. He started with, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We that are in this body do groan, waiting to know the adoption of our body. But the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He takes together with us like with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, and therefore all things work together for good. He had thought it through. Then I have Jesus at the right hand of the Father, who is making intercession for me, who can lay anything. Therefore, I am persuaded. Do we get it? Everybody, you have an assignment over this Easter. Go and read Romans 8. Listen to this message again. Then put the message aside and say, Holy Ghost, talk to me. Open it and read it yourself. For I am persuaded. Why is he persuaded? Because of the God that is inside him. The God that died for him. The God that is praying for him. The God that is praying through him. The God that is helping his infirmities. He is persuaded. Fully persuaded. That neither death. I like Paul. He starts with the most difficult one. The last enemy that shall be defeated is death. So he didn't go to the back. He went to the front of the queue. He said, go and bring the organ. Pata, pata, bring him first. Go and bring the death that everybody is afraid of, who all their lifetime was subject to bondage through the fear of death. He said, bring it to the front. I am persuaded that neither death. Start with that. All the others are easy. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, no things present. Then he was living in the first century. There were still things to come. Saddam Hussein and all the other.
You know, this is written by a lawyer. It is legally watertight. Even the things he did not mention are covered. He mentioned some things, death, life, and all of that. Then he now, because he's a lawyer, he had to make the thing legally watertight. He said, no things present, then the things I don't know, no things to come. Next verse. Neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give him a clap offering. That is why you are more than a conqueror. QED. Sela. That is why you are more than a conqueror. Nothing can defeat you except yourself. The only thing that can defeat you is yourself. The only thing that can separate you from the love of God is yourself. Stop praying. Stop reading your Bible. And you become pray for the devil. But so long as you stay with God.
Amen.
Like the other day when I was teaching about the navigator. Even when you know, even if the car, you take a wrong turn, it will recalculate. So long as you keep the power going, you keep the navigator plugged in, and you keep obeying the instructions on the navigator, you're going to get to your destination. Nothing, 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 not death, not life, not angels, not principalities, not powers, not things present, not things to come, not height, not depth, not any other creature, nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. I just got a tweet from heaven, and I have made up my mind, I will not separate myself. So I am more than a conqueror. I have made up my mind. I will not separate myself. So automatically, I am more than a conqueror. Give the Lord a clap offering. I would have said sit down, but you're already standing up. So those who are not standing, sitting down, see who are sitting down, stand up. We're going to close. Whoa. 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 The glory is about to appear. The glory is about to appear. That I have never preached like this before. It's a new anointing. Talk about next level. Not the one these guys are. It's not the next level. It's not the next level of the Abuja. This is the next level of God. Passover, first level. Pentecost, second level. Tabernacles, third level. That's where we are now. Don't allow Satan to intimidate you. Do not believe his lies. Speak God's word and then get. That's where I learned groaning. This was even before I met my wife. I learned how to pray. I'll be in that house in Agbo. I'll be feeling depressed. For the first 9 months after I left Brother Miko, I didn't have a job. It was Larry Adeneko and some of the brethren that used to contribute money. They would tithe because they used to go to those days. None of us, there was no church. The only church was Orita Mefa. And then many of them went to IVCU fellowship. So the brethren, you know, they would come, Brother Fred, I think, okay. And Friday Becky and some of my friends, they would contribute money. Can you believe this? They would contribute money at the end of the month and come and give me. I had no money. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a bed.
I used to go into serious depression. But I never stayed there. It only lasted a few hours. Once I felt those things coming, I would go to this scripture, open it, I will read it. Then when I finish with it, I don't stop there. Then tongues. I blast the devil. I will pray and pray. So I'll pray for 1 hour, 2-3 hours. By the time I enter the first 30 minutes, I'm done. You know, my spirit is lifted up again. My mind is clear. I know why I came to Nigeria. Because God called me to the ministry for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. Everything becomes clear. And I don't get it again, maybe for another few months. Then something again happens. Then I pray again. So long as you stay with God and you keep praying, there is nothing you will not overcome. Nothing! Nothing! Nothing shall separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Not height, not depth, not angels, not principalities, not death. God forbid you should die, you will not die. But if you die, we'll raise you from the dead. You will not die. We do not permit you to die. If you die, you are disobeying your pastor's instruction. If you die, you are in rebellion. Yes. Anybody who dies without satisfaction is in rebellion. You must not die. If I have not seen you manifest the glory, you have no permission to die. Amen. I'm weak there. Seriously, this is the kind of mentality. It's an overcomer, militant, victorious mentality. And it was the mentality Paul had. That's why they will stone Paul, leave him for dead. The disciples will come around him. He will stand up and go back. You know why? He knew he was more than a conqueror. With the things that are coming, the glory that is coming and the missionary work we're going to. We're going to Afghanistan. We're going to Pakistan. We're going to Iran. We're going to China. We're going to Mongolia. We're going to Russia. If you don't have this kind of mentality, stay at home. Stay at home. You're not qualified. We need people who know who they are. Because we will face all kinds of things. But remember, neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Put one hand on your heart. No. Raise your other hand to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. The Holy Ghost said, he said, you need to go and preach this message to them. It's a precursor to the glory. God will make a way
where there seems to be no way.
Ha, ha, ha.
He works in ways we cannot see.
Ha, ha.
He will make a way for us. He is now.
With love and strength.
With love and strength.
For this holiday.
For the new day. He now makes a way.
He now
makes a way.
God will make a way.
God
now makes a way.
Where there seems to be.
Way for us. show of hands to God. After this, you must have a Joshua and Caleb spirit. We're going to pray in a minute. God is going to hold you responsible for this message. You have no excuse. Don't go back to your old cowardly ways. Yes, the giants are there. We don't deny them. Yes, the problems are there. You will overcome them. They are bread for you. You are more than a conqueror. Stay close to your Savior. Stay close to your guide, the Holy Spirit. He will see you through. There is nothing that can stand in the way of your God. God is bigger than your problem. Far bigger. Far bigger. Raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so we cleave with the blood from all unrighteousness, receiving your blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come to me this afternoon, reminding me that you have, you're not going to, you already have made me more than a conqueror because of Jesus' death, his resurrection, and the power of the Holy Spirit you've put inside me, and your written word, a word that you watch over to perform, a word that guarantees me that you cannot lie. For by two impossible things, immutable things, in which it is impossible for you to lie, because of this word, because of Jesus, and because of the Holy Spirit, I know that I am more than a conqueror. Lord, continue to help me in my times of weakness, in my times of doubt, in my times of fear. God, help me. Help me. Remind me. Remind me of how you love me. Remind me that I should pray. Even when I don't feel like praying. Even when I don't feel like praying. Lord, help me to pray. Help me to start little by little. Then it gets stronger and stronger. Lord, I covenant with you today. I make a fresh pact. I make a fresh agreement, a contract with you today. I will not leave. I will not forsake you. When things get hard, I will get closer to you. I will not be offended. I will not be discouraged. When I am tempted to be discouraged, I will say you should strengthen my heart. For God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Help me, Lord. Help me to remember this vow this day as we approach your glory, the manifestation of your glory in this third day. Oh God, help me remember who I really am, more than a conqueror, in Jesus' name. Neka shala parkofredes. Linka tofrenengas. Lord, have mercy on us. Zikito fredeka kamatu. Zofrega kamatu. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Zikito fred. Zeketo fred. Angordolo mashala. Dolo mastur fred. Zofia. Lombre zetla mashalaka. Dolo makarno fred. Zifri. Lengar dolo mashala. Lombre kakala dolo mastur 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 fred.
Tolomangar dofret. Tolomash dofret. Tolomangar dofret. Tolomatufrides. Tolomangor dofret. Tolomash dofret.
In Jesus' name. I want to do one or two things just before we close. First of all, I've given us an assignment, but I want to repeat it because the Holy Spirit just prompted me. Go and get this message. I know you heard it in church. You haven't heard it yet. You think you have heard it, but you haven't heard it yet. Because there are things that the Holy Spirit will minister to you. Listen to it again. But don't listen to it. You know, I said listen to it and then, you know, open your Bible. God said, He said, open your Bible when you are listening to it. As you are listening to, make sure your Bible is open to Romans 8. As I am talking, when I say 7th day, the Holy Spirit says, pause it. Go to the scripture. Holy Spirit, explain that to me. Explain it to me. Okay. Then start it again. Listen to it meditatively. With an open Bible. So that it will become not Pastor Luby's own. It's yours. And when you walk out of that place, you walk out like that guy who they gave 100 million. Even though he hasn't seen the money yet, his walk is different. His mentality is different. He doesn't worry again about the rent. He doesn't worry about this because he knows that there's money coming. Conquerors are coming. Victory is on the way. If you're here today, and maybe somebody invited you, this is your first time in this church, or you're not born again, can you come here to the front? When the people are praying in tongues, you couldn't join them. Anybody? There might be one or two. You know? I say anyhow, please don't be shy. We're all brethren here. We're all friends. We love you. Don't feel embarrassed or anything like that. If you're here, it's your first time in this church, and you're not born again, we're speaking in tongues, you couldn't even join us. Can you just come here? Anybody? Ushers, please help me look out. If there's any hand raised, encourage them to come out. Encourage them. Then there's another set of people. Let them, those who are not born again, let them come. Then there's another set of people God asked me to pray specially for today. They have told you are going to die. God bless you. You're welcome. You're welcome. They have told you you are going to die. When I say they, now I'm talking about the doctors. And they are good people. They're just telling you. They're just doing their professional job. That's based on their knowledge. You know, but their knowledge is very limited. But they are good people. They are my friends. So I'm not against them. But they have told you. They have diagnosed. You go on doctor and say, I'm going to die. This problem is too big. You cannot solve it. Come, I want to pray for you. You will not die. Anybody who has that kind of problem? Some type of sickness, people get sick and get, but some type of debilitating disease or sickness, terminal. Come, don't be shy. I don't normally do this. The Holy Spirit has asked me, if you are here and you have any kind of thing, come, I want to pray for you. Or even if you want to stand for somebody, maybe your mother, your father, your friend, come. God bless you. Yes. You can stand to your feet. You don't have to kneel down. Stand up. You can stand to your feet. You will live, you will not die. Shakato Frede. Mommy, join me here. Just one or two steps, not very high. Who is the devil? Who is the devil? Neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. If you are standing on behalf of somebody, I'm going to pray. But I want you to do something and cooperate with me. Follow it up. Even if it's once in a week or even once a month, as often as you can, just pray for them in the spirit. Pray it in the spirit with groanings. They will live, they will not die. Who is the devil? Now we're going to do it step by step. All those who are not born again, just or come to the church for the first time, all of us can really pray. But just pray this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father. Say it out loud. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I have the nature of sin inside me because I inherited it from my parents
like all men. But I don't want this nature of sin to continue to dominate me. I believe Jesus died for my sins, and he was raised again from the dead on the third day for my justification. So now I accept him as my Savior, and I confess him as my Lord. So now I have eternal life, the nature of God inside my heart. I am born again. I am a child of God. Father, I thank you for this. I determine in my heart not to go back to a regular life of sin. Help me to live in righteousness and in holiness all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You just finished praying there. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Go to this side here. Pastors, please come and take them. Those who just raised. God bless you. You're welcome. And get all their details, all their coordinates, so we can follow them up. Now, for those of you who are standing in, either you're here because of a debilitating disease, or you're standing either for your parents or your friend or somebody they've been told they're going to die, you know, don't believe it. Kenneth Hagin stayed on a deathbed for over two. He was 16. He stayed on a deathbed for about 9 months. The doctors had told him he was going to die. He was expecting to die. He even died and went to hell. And God brought him back because his mother was praying. I'm going to pray for you. Father, we confess our sins. We cling with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. Receive your blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I will pray. Then we'll just pray in the Spirit together for those who can. Father, I thank you for these, my brethren and friends. I thank you because you've given us a promise of life in Christ Jesus. Jesus said it clearly, Lord, that he came that we may have life and that I may have it more abundantly. He said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you said in your word that for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I come against the spirit of death. I just got a fax from heaven. I come against the mentality of death. Those who have accepted death as their portion, I come against that wrong mentality in your mind in the name of Jesus. I rebuke death. I rebuke the spirit of death in the name of Jesus. I say you will live, you will not die. I release life. I release life. I release life from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Life! 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 And that life is medicine. It is medicine. It is medicine to your external members and to your internal organs. Medicine to all your flesh. In the name of Jesus, a healing and a cure has been set into motion. You go to the doctor, go and check. Go back to your doctor and check. They will tell you something has happened. Something has changed. And going forward, you will live. You will not die. Go back to the Word of God. Those of you who don't know the Word of God very well now, start listening. This message you heard today, go and do exactly what I said. Even though you don't know the Bible properly, open it and read your Bible yourself. You will see God's Word will work for you. God is a good God. God is a good God. The woman with the issue of blood had been condemned to death. Condemned to death. But when the Prince of Life walked by, life was transmitted to her. Life is transmitted to you in Jesus' name. You will live and you will not die. And we want to hear your feedback. We want to hear your testimony. So when you have a feedback, you can just text us. They'll put a number on the screen. You can send us a text and we will follow it up in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is particular if anyone had sickle cell anemia. I wanted to keep quiet, but I'm not going to keep quiet. It might just be for one person. Please. This is your day. This is our day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
sickle cell anemia disappear. In Jesus' name. Go back to the doctor. I am a scientist. I don't believe in all these funny people. I am a scientist by training. Go back to the doctor. Let them check. It will change. In Jesus' name. Join hands with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life of God satisfied. And show you His salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Moses, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to everybody and say, you are more than a conqueror.